I'm going to speak on a subject called how to handle offenses, and I'm going to get the text for this morning's message is taken from two portions of the Bible. The first one is taken from Luke chapter 17, and then the other one is Matthew 24. As a start, we will go to that portion of that scripture, Luke 17, please. Luke 17, we will read the first few verses. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17 verse 1 says, "Then he said to his disciple, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sin against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times in the day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The next portion of the scripture is from Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read from verse 3. I'll read from verse 3 to verse 13. "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your second coming, and the end of the age.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, "I'm Christ," and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in the various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended." All right, this is verse 10. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." That ends the reading. Shall we commit the time to the Lord in prayer before we go into the sermon? Father, we thank you, Lord, that for your precious words. We thank you, Lord, for your warning and advance warning to every one of us here about this area of offense. And therefore, I ask of you that you speak through me, and every word that is spoken will be anointed, and it shall accomplish your purpose and your will, and it will not return to you void. So I pray, Father, Lord, if there's any offense in us, Lord, that you will come into our life to deal with it and you will remove it. So you help us to have understanding, and they are powerful words that you have spoken, Lord, in the scripture. Help us to understand and help us to apply in our life. Lord, we do not want, Lord, to take offense. We do not want to harbor any offenses in our life, because that is detrimental to our well-being. So we commit and submit ourselves to you, and let's pray that you will bring forth your word and to grow your people, your children, into full maturity in Christ Jesus, that we may glorify him in every area of our life. So we ask of you, Lord, that you come this morning in a powerful way to glorify and exalt the name of Jesus. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now these two powerful verses that we have read, very, very important text. And as I said this morning, I'd like to speak on the subject of handling offenses. This is because I believe offended people is the number one problem in the church. And more and more Christians are falling into this trap of the sinister trap of offenses. Now, if Christians do not know how to handle offenses during peaceful time like this, then they will falter and they will be in deep trouble when they come into the turbulent period of the end days. Now, before we start any further, it is important to have a clear understanding of what an offense is. Because if you know what is the definition, then you have clarity what the scripture is talking about. So, definition, what is an offense? Now, you're going to look into the Greek word, it's called skandeden, which comes from which comes the word scandal. So, basically, essentially, it is the meaning of offense is this. It is a trap. It is a snare. It is a stumbling block. It is an impediment that is intentionally placed in the way that causes a person to stumble. So we must be very clear of the definition. The emphasis here is trap, a snare, and it is something that is intentional. Now from here, we can move on to talk more about offenses. There are many exhortations and warnings in the scripture for both the offender and the offendee. So offender is one who is causing the offense, and offendee is one who is, you know, being offended. All right, there are two parties here. So, the first part of my what I call sermon, I talk a bit about the area pertaining to the offender, because this is a very serious matter. Because in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, it says, verse 1 to verse 2, Jesus says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But he says, woe to him through whom they do come. He says, it is better for that person to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown into the sea, then he should offend one of the little ones. So it's very strong words coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, talking about a curse. And this is a warning to the offender. If you intentionally do or say something to offend someone who is younger in faith, those who are young in faith, then you're in danger of being cursed by God. And therefore, we have to be careful that we do not deliberately say something or do something to hurt someone. You are taking an offense and then you want to hit back, you know, so to speak. So, if you do that, you have to be watchful because lest the curse of God comes upon you. Now, what a biblical offense is not. So, I want to give a few examples. When you unintentionally do or say something that possibly offends someone, then that in that sense, it is not an offense in the biblical sense. Now, however, that does not mean that we do not, we are careless and we are flippant and we are not careful in what we say or what we do. We still need to take responsibility to be watchful and careful in whatever we say and we do. And that is why the Apostle Paul warned us in Romans chapter 14, verse 21. He says, it is neither good to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. All right, so that is a warning from the Apostle Paul. And then the other examples where it is not our offense would be a situation like this. When you're sharing the good news, when you're sharing Jesus with someone, now, you know that when you share the gospel, you share about Jesus Christ to someone, some people take offense. Now, that is not a biblical offense. It is fine to do that. Why? Because it is not a snare. It is not a stumbling block, you know, that is put along the way. But rather, it is an act of love to help someone to get out of sin and to receive salvation. The other situation will be like correction. When we are correcting a brother or sister in Christ in love, you say some of these words, and he may take offense, but that is not offense in a biblical sense. The reason is because you are trying to help him to get out of sin. Then other situation would be like you do something, but that perhaps did not meet the expectations of someone. Again, it is not an offense because it is not a snare. It is not a trap to cause them to fall. So now you begin to understand why I straight away, at the start of the sermon, I give you a definition of the offense. Otherwise, there will be many acts that we commit that is offensive. And in the category of Luke chapter 17, you know, Jesus says it's better for you a millstone to be hung around your bed and then you'll be thrown into the sea. So those are very serious stuff. And that is why I take time to explain in what context it is an offense and in what context it is not an offense. Now I will go into the second part. What about offendee? That means if someone do or say something that offend you, there are certain things that God expect you to respond. How to respond. And that is why, as a start, Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, he says, it is impossible that no offense should come. So, for offending, you must take note, you must realize that in this fallen world, as long as the devil is still around, it is impossible not to experience offense in life. In this world with fallen human nature, offenses are bound to happen. You need to be realistic about this. In life, you will surely encounter situations where people will upset you, people will disappoint you, they will let you down, you know, they will do something to hurt you, or they will do something fallen short of your expectation. However, it is not surprising, it is also surprising how people can be so sensitive and take offense over very mundane and not so important issues. Let me give you some examples. For example, you know, you come to the church and then the ushers come to you. You know, could you sit, please sit over the other side instead of this row of seats. And some people who are sensitive, they get offended over minor things, over mundane things. And the other area will be in the form of greeting. And somebody so engrossed, pass you by, and then did not greet you. And then you get offended. You know, things like this. Or you're not invited to a function, to an event, because you feel that you're forgotten. You feel that you have been rejected because you are not invited to a party or to a meal, to an anniversary celebration. And that is another area, you know, that people can take offense in. And then when someone differs in their opinion with you, you get offended. You know, you feel that you are rejected because people do not agree with you. Another area would be, you know, you like to get your own way. If you are not getting your own way, then you throw a fuss and you feel offended. Or a pastor may be preaching, or any minister will be preaching a message here, and you felt that, you know, he's referring to you and you feel offended. So that is another situation. What about phone call? Now, I've been pastoring for many, many years, and sometimes it's very, very difficult. And if a church member has been in the church for a period of time, and let's say he or she doesn't come to the church for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, the question I have is, should I phone this person or should I not phone this person? Now, if you have a negative mindset, you will take offense. How? Because through my experience, if I call you, all right, and some people say that, oh, pastor is very controlling. I didn't come to church for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, he tried to call me and pressure me to come to church. You know, such a controlling pastor. But if I don't call, he can turn around and say that, you know, this pastor is not caring. You know, don't even bother to make a phone call. What kind of pastor is this? So you can see, if you do not have a right attitude, if you are not mature, either way, you know, you are them. You do it, you're them. You don't do it, you're them. So be careful, congregation. We all need to grow up, all right? Grow up spiritually. Offense will come. They are part of our life. There's no way of escaping it. Now, if we allow ourselves to harbor offenses and we don't deal with it, all right, and let it fester for too long, it will lead to very damaging human emotion. Now, in fact, in this fallen world, offense is one of the major weapons used by the devil to destroy relationship with God and to destroy relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters. And you see this happening in the church, in the family, in marriages, and in the workplace, and in businesses. And that is why there is a verse in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. It says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. This means that it's a lot easier to conquer or to win a strong city than to reconcile a brother or sister who is offended. And Jesus himself gave very strict, serious warning in the scripture in Matthew 24, the passage that we just read. And he says that many will be offended. He said, in the last days, many will be offended. And what happened? They will betray one another and they will hate one another. And then it goes on to say that, there will be many false prophets and they'll come and they'll deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, he says that the love of many will grow cold. However, he ends with the saying, he says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. And therefore, the second point is this. Unresolved offense can wreck a person's life real bad. Unresolved offenses cause, number one, betrayal, hatred, and then possibly eventually murder. Offense first comes in disguise to you as a friend. It will rehearse in your mind all the injustices done to you, tell you all the faults of the other party, then it tries to convince you that anger and hatred will suit and will protect you. And then when you say yes to it and you begin to nurse that offense, then it will invite the other cousins to come in. Bitterness, unforgiveness, revenge, and all the other negative emotions. So eventually, it will become a beast that destroys your life and it will attack those around you, cutting off key relationships. And that's why Satan uses offenses as a bait to lure your carnal nature, your sinful nature, in a state of resentment, unforgiveness, and eventually betrayal, hatred, murder. His evil end purpose is to derail your faith and to destroy your life. And then the other thing that unresolved offense can cause is this defilement. When you go into bitterness, you are inviting trouble in your life because you are defiling yourself spiritually. This toxic of defilement, bitterness, you know, will choke the life out of you. And it will affect your health and your well-being. That is why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15 says that watch out. He says, lest the root of bitterness spring up in you, causing trouble. And by this, he says, many become defiled. Now, I am what you call the pastor of the church. I speak a lot of messages and I have to watch out for my life. I cannot take offense because anytime I take and harbor offense, you know, there will be defilement. And the word that I speak to the congregation is going to affect you. And so leaders, pastor leaders and those aspiring to be leaders, you need to be careful. If you easily take offense over things, you know, then you do not qualify because you are going to pollute. You are going to defile the people that you are going to minister to. And then the third thing is this. Unresolved offense can bring forth broken relationship with God and with people. When this happens, the life of God is curtailed in your life. It saps away your joy. It saps away your energy. You know, you become dry up. So watch out about this unresolved offense. The fourth area is unresolved, what you call offense, will make you prone to deception. And that is why the verses that is immediately after that, he says, many prophets will rise up and they will deceive many. If you are offended, you know, in the last days, there will be a lot of deception. And of course, you need to know the truth. Now, even you know the truth, but if you are offended, you know, you have this harboring offense in your life, then you will be easily deceived. And then the fifth area is they become the love of God, the love of people, will begin to grow cold. You become hardened and you will end up giving your faith and thereby losing your salvation. And that is why the Bible verse says that those who endure to the end, you know, shall be saved. So let us go through some of the Bible examples, biblical examples of how people respond to some of the offenses in their life. And from those examples, you can see that how their response play a key role in determining the consequences in their life. So, first example I want to give is Cain. Now, the story of Cain is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 1 to verse 10. Now, this guy got offended. Why did he get offended? Because God accepted his brother Abel's offering of an animal sacrifice. Now Cain, on the other hand, offered another type of sacrifice, the grain sacrifice. Now prior to this, even though it was not recorded in the Bible, it was, you can read it in between the lines, that God has already instructed them that when you come to me, that you have to offer an animal sacrifice. Anything other than the animal sacrifice is unacceptable. But Cain did not obey God, and he came to God, and he offered a grain sacrifice. And God said, I do not accept this particular offering. And he was very upset. Cain was very, very angry. And God spoke to Cain. He says that, why are you angry? He said, if you do as I told you so, will your offering not be accepted in my sight? If you don't, he says, then sin is crouching at the door. Sin is waiting at the door to consume and to destroy you. Instead of obeying God, Cain harbored this offense. He became even more upset. He became very, very angry. And then it grows and it develops into hatred. He hated his brother Abel. And he eventually killed his own brother Abel. So in Genesis, you can see the destructive power of an unresolved offense. It can grow into severe anger, then hatred, and then eventually murder. The second example is taken from the 1 Samuel chapter 18 to chapter 19. There was a king by the name of King Saul. Now King Saul has got a military officer called David. And then there was once upon a time that they went out for war. And then it was a victorious war. And they came back. And then there was a big celebration along, you know, the street. And then everybody was, you know, having a party and they were singing. And then they were singing praises unto King Saul. They say, what a wonderful king. And King Saul killed 1,000. And then he was very happy. But then the next moment, there was another stanza that came out. But he says, David killed 10,000. And so he realized that the people, you know, are more pleased, or rather, David is more popular than King Saul. And he became very, very upset. And he became very, very angry. And therefore, he began to harbor this particular offense in his heart. And he says that, you know, why should a military officer be more popular than a king? And then he never get over it, and he began to nurse this particular offense, and it became a hatred. Now David had been loyal to King Saul for the many, many years that he served him, and he was a very, very loyal military officer, and he did King Saul no wrong. But yet King Saul hunted David and from cave to cave and tried to kill him. And we know the tragic ending of King Saul. He did not have a good ending in his life. Because, you know, throughout his life, he was harboring all these offenses in his life. On the other hand, David went through every trial. And he took no offense of all the injustices. Even though he was given a couple opportunity to kill, to take revenge on King Saul. But he did not, because he kept his spirit right. He was not offended by all those trials. He was not offended by all those injustices that happened to him. And eventually, David became the king of Israel. He was promoted by God. So this is another story of how offense can destroy a person's life. In this situation, King Saul. And then what about some more positive example? The third example I can think of is Naaman. Naaman is a Syrian general. And again, once upon a time, there was a war fought between Syria and Israel. And then after the war, and this Syrian general actually captured a group of people. Among this group of people, there was a servant maid. And then that was captured from Israel. And she became what we call the maid to the household of General Naaman. And Naaman had this particular problem that was life-threatening. He suffered leprosy, a sickness that is incurable. It's only a matter of time that he's going to die of that leprosy. But this maid servant lady was have a bit of compassion on the general. He says that I hear of a prophet in Israel that can cure your sicknesses. He's a very powerful prophet of God. He says that you need to go and find him and then to get the word from the Lord. And so General Naaman took that particular advice. He went to that particular place. And he sought out a prophet, Elisha. Then prophet Elijah did not even come out to see him. And the prophet say, just go down to the river Jordan and dip yourself 7 times in that river, and muddy river, and you will be healed. Now this offended General Naaman's pride and ego. He became furious. He says, of so many rivers, you know, in what they call in the Middle East, why must I go to this dirty, muddy river Jordan to dip myself 7 times? He said, it is ridiculous. In his mind, he would have thought that this particular prophet would just say the word of the Lord and he'll be healed. But it did not turn out this way. Now, what was he actually offended? Because he has this preconceived idea of how God would heal him. And therefore, it's not up to his expectation. Now, then he went back and he told his, what he calls, this particular maid of his. And the maid was a very wise maid. And so she gave a wise counsel to this to her master. He says that if the prophet had told you to do something more difficult than this, would you not have done it? This is life-threatening. This is leprosy that you're talking about. He says that, you know, what is this that the Hia has asked you to do? Just dip yourself 7 times in River Jordan and you'll be healed. He said, these are just very easy things to do. Why are you so furious? And then Naaman thought for a moment. He says, yes, my life, my healing is more important than my ego. And fortunately, he heeded the advice, the wise counsel from this particular maid. He did it and he was healed. Had he not done it, had he not done it and insisted on harboring his offense, he would have lost his healing and he would have died prematurely. So this is, again, a positive example of how he was offended initially, but he did not harbor it, but he heeded the wise counsel of this particular maid. And he did as the prophet told, and he was healed. And then the last example would be the story of Joseph. If ever there is a person in the Bible that has the right to be offended, it is Joseph. You can read it in Genesis chapter 37 to 41. He was betrayed by his own brothers. And then later on, he was falsely accused and then imprisoned for a rape that he did not commit. And then the other occasion was he was forgotten by the butler whom he ministered to. So several times, while he thought his life is going to recover from all those adversity, and then next comes an injustice in his life. Just imagine, for 13 years, he was battling all this adversity. But Joseph triumphed over every adverse situation and offenses. And finally, he became the prime minister of Egypt. Now, the point of all this story and example is this. The single root cause of every downfall in this man, in the man's life, can be traced to just one origin. And that origin is unresolved offenses. And all these men may encounter offenses of the same substance, may take different form, but their responses are very different. And it is the response that determines their life outcome. What distinguishes, you know, the boys from the men? What distinguishes the hero from the villain? What distinguishes the mature from the immature? It is this. Those who did not deal with their offenses had a, what you call, tragic end in their life. They allowed their offenses to fester into a monster, into a beast that destroyed their life. They missed out the great plan and the destiny that God has in store for them. But for those who deal with their offenses, they do not allow offenses to germinate in their hearts. They overcome their hurt. They overcome the pain and the offenses. And eventually, they attain the mark, the good plan and destiny that God has in store for them. If offenses can produce a dramatic and a lasting damage to a people, it will be profitable for us to self-examine ourselves. Is there any unresolved offense in my life, in your life? So let's look at some of the signs of the unresolved offense. Now, the first thing is resentment. If someone has a resentment, if you have a resentment against a person, it means, you know, there is a strong likelihood that you have an unresolved offense in your life. It is a good sign. Resentment is bad because it all consumes your joy of salvation. And because it destroys, it takes away the peace of your mind. And once resentment possesses you, it will slowly exert itself with its destructive power in your life. And resentment can often lead to bitterness, and then it leads to fatigue, and ulcer, and high blood pressure. And then the second sign would be obsession. Obsession over the offense, rehearsing it in your mind over and over again. Offended people seem to have a very good memory of the offense that they encountered in their life. However, it is only a selective memory because they only remember the wrong that the people have committed against them. And the painful memories become a mental picture that they permanently carry around. Little do they realize that there is a major blessing blocker to their life. And then the third sign would be they withhold love from the person that offended them, or they withhold love from the church or from the fellowship. And therefore, these are some of the telltale signs. They are very cynical, you know, of that particular incident, and they prefer to be lone rangers. And then the fourth sign is they like to put up strong, what they call defense mechanism in their life to protect them from further hurt. And they are very defensive in their conversation. And they have a strong desire to justify their feeling. And they share with the people around them, hoping to win sympathy and agreement. And then the fifth area of observation is they tend to be highly critical and judgmental of others. To further protect themselves, you know, they become judgmental, and they hardly see good in any other people, only the bad. So watch out. If there are one or more of these signs, you know, is in you, then better take the necessary steps to break free from the offense. Now, how do we break free from the offense? Jesus actually gave us a clue, and that was in Luke chapter 17, and it is in verse 3. He says, take heed to yourself. Now, don't take this verse lightly. Take heed to yourself. And then he continues to say that if your brother sinned against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sinned against you seven times in the day, seven times in the day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, notice what Jesus says here. He says, take heed to yourself. Jesus is not saying, take heed to others, but take heed to yourself. So he is saying that when offense happens to you, the first thing you need to do is to focus upon yourself, on your personal response, on the choice that you are making. So if offense hurts you, you have the power. You have the power to choose life or death. You have the power to choose imprisonment or liberty. Now, if the offense remains unresolved, your tendency is like to build up a wall around you to keep people out. And you say, I will never, you know, let anyone do this to me again. And when you do that, it also locks you in a prison. You become a prisoner of your own war. You are trapped in your own anger and your hatred. Now, we would tend to think, if someone upset me, my focus is on them. What they say to me, what they did to me, and you go through this offense over and over again in your mind, and there's this tremendous turmoil, and it robs away of your peace. So, be careful. Jesus says, take heed to yourself. In other words, he says, guard the conditions of your heart, for it out of it flows the issue of life. And every issue in your life, you know, you need to be careful. It comes from your heart. And if your heart allows offense to germinate, then there will be all kinds of issues that come out of your life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. So, let us be very specific. How do we break free from offense? So, number one, recognize that offense is your enemy. Recognize offense for what it is. Offense is not your friend. Offense is your enemy. He's out there to destroy you. And she's trying to brew resentment, hatred, unforgiveness to destroy your destiny and you. So refuse to fall into this snare and trap of the enemy any longer. Number one, you need to recognize that. Number two is stop rehearsing. Stop rehearsing those offense and refrain from being critical and judgmental. Now, harboring your offense long enough will give you, or rather will give place to the devil to play havoc in your life. Why did Judas betray Jesus? And how did Satan ever get into, you know, Judas? I believe not only because Judas was greedy for money, but if you read the scripture carefully, I believe that he harbored a few of the offenses in his heart. So, and as a result, he has a breach in his life. There's this opening in his life that allowed the devil to come into his life. If you read that portion of the scripture, there was a portion of the scripture where Jesus, or rather Mary, anointed Jesus' feet and hair with precious perfume. And Judas said, it could have been sold. This precious perfume could have been sold for, you know, I don't know how many, a big amount of money. And then Jesus began to give Judas a rebuke, a strong rebuke. And then the next moment, next few verses, Judas actually went to the chief priest and to try to plot to betray Jesus. So I believe this portion of the scripture, you know, just a natural flow, I believe Judas was already offended over a couple of issues. One of those may be, why did he choose James, John, and Peter to be the inner circle? He may not be happy. He wants to be the number one of the three in the inner circle. And a few others. And then I think this is like a tipping point. And he was already, you know, harboring those things. And this particular incident, this final offense, took hold upon him. And he later on, you know, he opened himself up to the enemy, to Satan. And that is why later on, when Jesus began to serve the Last Supper, and then the moment after that, Satan, it was recorded in the scripture, entered him. So we have to be careful. That's why there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Alright, don't give place and room to the devil. He will not come in if you do not give up or set up a particular place for him. And therefore, be careful as you go into this bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, harboring all this offense. You know, long enough, you will allow, you know, the demons and the evil spirit to come and play havoc in your life. And that is why it's important to stop rehearsing those things. Because the more you rehearsing those offenses, you are opening a door, a little gap. And then eventually it will be a big door for the evil spirit to come into your life. And then the third area is this. Go to the Lord in prayer. I know, alright, it is sure, there are certain things that people do or say that hurt you. We all have emotions. You know, human beings have emotions. And therefore you're hurt, you're offended. Fine. That may be fine, but don't harbor the offense. Don't harbor it in your heart. You need to come to the Lord. You know, you may be hurt real bad. You can release this pain to the Lord. Say, I'm hurt by this particular person. I don't want to take this offense. Take it as an offense. I do not want to harbor this offense. And I choose to forgive this person in Jesus' name. You know, you come to the Lord and you begin to pray. You say that I choose, and God will begin to help you. Now, even though sometimes it may be difficult, and that is why at times you need to go into spiritual warfare. You need to invoke the power of the cross. Because of what Jesus had done for you on the cross, you are able to appropriate that authority and power as a result of the cross. Time and time I say again, you must realize the power of the cross. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, my hurt, this offense in me, you know, is being crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As you apply this scripture, there's power. And then all this carnal nature is being crucified on the cross. And then you receive, you know, the power of the cross, and you come out victorious. And then all these pains will be progressively gone. And then the other scripture is Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. Every time when there is a battle between, you know, the devil and the Lord Jesus, he always quotes the scripture. He always quotes the scripture. And therefore the scripture is given to you, not just for information, but for application. And therefore you need to use that word against, you know, the evil spirit. The other one is Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. These are the key verses that you can use. You go into prayer and you fight against this, you know, carnal nature of harboring offense. And you will soon find a breakthrough in your life. And then, having done that, you can also, fourth point is you can pray for the person. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And that's why Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, when you follow the instruction of the Lord, as you do those things, you pray, you bless, and then you do good. You know, spiritually, some transaction is taking place in your life. The grace of God will come into your life. Grace of God means something that you cannot do in your own strength. You know, God will give you that spirit of grace to do it. So as you apply it, you know, again, you will find a release in your spirit. Now, having done all those things, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm being very direct to you. If you still find that it is a struggle in your life, then step number 5, resolve it directly with the person involved. This is written clearly for us in Matthew chapter 18 and also in the Luke chapter 17, the portion of the scripture that we have read. Make appointment with the person privately, 1-to-1. Don't gossip around, 1-to-1. And then meet him or her, get to the point. Don't beat around the bush. Be very, very specific and show how that particular incident has offended you. And then share from your part of the story. And then begin to allow the other person to share his or her side of the story. Because there always be two sides of the story. You know, sometimes it can be we are very oversensitive. Sometimes those things that the people have done to you, they don't even realize. So hear their side of the story. And as you hear the full version of the story, you will clear the air. And then at the end, forgive one another and pray for one another. So if you, what you call, follow these 5 steps, you will find you can break free from any offense that you may have in your life. So brothers and sisters, this is an important issue because in the last days, Jesus is warning us, people will be offended. There will be more offense. So if you don't take steps to learn how to handle offenses and grow and mature in the Lord, in the last days, you will be in serious trouble. You will not make it. He says, those who endure to the end, those who are mature, who endure to the end, shall be saved. So it's a matter of life and death. It is not a trivial issue. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you. Can I get you to ponder for the next few moments? Apply it in your life. Is there anything that I'm offended about and that I'm still harboring it in my heart that you need to take steps to resolve them and not to allow it to fester and not allow it to be, you know, doing some of those insidious work in your heart and eventually to destroy you? So take a few moments to do transaction with the Lord. Lord, help me. Say a very honest prayer unto the Lord. I don't want to be offended. I'm hurt, but I don't want to be offended. So help me, Lord. So, brothers and sisters, important that you come to the Lord and clear all accounts. In Jesus' name. While the musicians are preparing, I want you to close your eyes and take that moment to reflect and do transaction with the Lord on a personal basis. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, you minister to every heart. May we be honest with you. Area that we have taken offense, we want to come before you and ask that you help us. There is this pain, there's this anger, and possibly even resentment and bitterness. Lord, we release it on the altar at the cross. We nail it to the cross. And we ask that you give us the grace to forgive and to love. And you give us the grace, Lord, to overcome every pain and every hurt. We don't want to end up like Cain or Saul. We want to be like Joseph, a big heart, able to forgive. And we want to fulfill, Lord, the good plan that you have in store for us. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray. Amen. Shall we stand?